Well, it's a real privilege for me to introduce our speaker today. Many of you will know of Ron Machowski. Was senior pastor down at Glad Tidings for many, how many years, Ron?
25.
25 years. And that's great. And he's, you know, I love doing introductions because you get to say stuff that people would never say about themselves, right? Mostly because they're too humble. But my exposure to Ron has been through the Evangelical Pastors Fellowship. They do a monthly lunch and the occasional retreat. And Victoria has an exceptional ministerial. New pastors who move into town always comment on how strong that community is and how apolitical it is and how resourceful it is. And so I'm thinking about once a year, Ron get asked to share with the pastors, you know, after lunch. And I can actually remember three or four of those talks going back 5 or 6 or 7 years. And if I remember them, that's saying something, right? So Ron wrapped up at GLAD a couple of years ago and has been doing some interim work with his denomination. And we know how strategic that is, going through a transitional time. So he finished up an assignment in Abbotsford last week, and I scored him for today and next Sunday. And so we're really glad to have Ron share with us this morning. You're going to hear a little bit of that. Like I said a couple weeks ago, Clayton was a cool elder statesman. So is Ron. And but sort of in that mentor kind of role model status to a lot of pastors in town over a lot of years. So we're fortunate to have him with us this morning. So why don't you welcome Ron?
Thank you, Bill. Well, good morning, Lambrick Park Church. I just want to say how much of a joy it is for my wife, Jill. Jill, would you stand? I to be with you today. Thank you for the honor of sharing from the Word of God this morning. It's been 27 years that we moved from Winnipeg to Victoria. And, yeah, good for me. You know, I was sitting at a table one day at a conference, and Howard Hendricks was there. And he says, well, where are you from? Where do you minister? And I said, Victoria. Howard, who is the guru of Christian education, for many years in the evangelical world, he said, Victoria, in his Texas drawl, how'd you ever manage that? Jeannie and I love Victoria. We get there as often as we possibly can, at least once a year. I said, well, he said, where were you before you were in Victoria? I said, Winnipeg. Oh, well, that explains it. And then he started telling me how bad Winnipeg was because he'd shared a few conferences there. But when we first moved out here, we lived on Shelbourne Street, just a few houses from Mount Douglas Park, and our kids went to Lambrick Junior High, and so our first choice of churches would have been Lambrick Park Church. That is, if I didn't have significant responsibilities to preach in the other church every Sunday. But I must say that over the years, we always felt an affinity with you, as we felt too at Glad Tidings that we were a flagship church with you. Every city in Canada has flagship churches. They're not assigned the role. There's just evidence of it being that way. The churches that easily come up in conversation, that everybody knows about, they stand out in the community. When the media wants a commentary on current events, so often they come looking for your pastor. The community is aware of the flagship churches, and you have been one of those churches as long as I have known you. Of course, you share that honor with a couple more in that category in Victoria. But people get saved at flagship churches. Or what I mean is they know if they have to get right with God, they know the address. They know where you are on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. They know the vicinity of those churches and they gravitate towards them. They might not know much about the weekly church schedule, but they know where the Bible is being preached in truth. And they know where the Spirit of God dwells, and they know where they can find spiritual help. Many times flagship churches are the ones that come to mind for people like that, for people who are spiritually searching. And as long as I've known the Christian community of Victoria, I've always regarded you as a flagship church. You hold a tremendous honor in that role, but also a great responsibility, because I believe the health of flagship churches affects the entire church community. If your church is healthy and blessed, every other community church knows it and feels it. And when you see souls coming to Christ regularly, then every small community church is reinforced by your success, because, friends, we are a team. We're part of the kingdom. And it's always great to be on a winning team, isn't it? So Lambrick is a special church. And although we were never able to attend here over the years because of, as I say, pressing Sunday commitments, at one point in our lives, our daughter, Elise, who had gone away to college to another city and then had come back, she decided to make the place her spiritual community. And it was a wonderful time for her, and Jill and I were very pleased to trust her to you and to this community, to this place. And today she continues to grow in Christ and is still following after him with a full family. And so I feel I owe a great debt to you as a congregation on so many levels. So thank you for being here and for standing with such a large presence for God. And thank you for being true to the extraordinary calling he has for you, not just to this community, but to this whole city. May it always be in people's conversation across the city of the good things and the great things that God is doing at Lambrick Park Church. And I have every confidence that that will happen, especially in the light of the decisions that have been prayerfully struck recently right here regarding leadership. You have picked a young man. And I say, good for you. I don't know him personally, but I know, as the Bible says in Psalm 45, verse 16, there are princes in the land. Actually, it says, instead of the fathers shall be the sons, and they shall be princes in the land. This is Father's Day, and it's a day that we most naturally think about fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and the relationship between them. And in Psalm 45, verse 16, it talks of the changes of life and how the fathers come first and then the children. And so there's a constant succession. If the fathers go, it is so that the children may take their places. And notice the line is never broken. The order which God has fixed continues. And I have a whole sermon on that, Don. But not today. In fact, my role lately has been to go across Western Canada and encourage cross-generational churches to give youth a chance. And there were three churches that I was serving in, and I was wondering if they were hearing my story, because the first church, they elected in a 57-year-old pastor. Give youth a chance. The next church I went to, they elected a 47-year-old pastor. The next church I went to, they elected a 32-year-old pastor. They heard the message. Give youth a chance. So it all depends where you are in life as to how you're seeing youth. I came to this city at the age of 36, as God had it, and a church called me to be their pastor. And those numbers now have flipped. And I don't know how that happened, but it happened. But I'll never forget the faith and the love and the support I had from that congregation. For 25 years, God allowed me to serve them, and now you have the same opportunity to stand behind your pastor. So congratulations on your decision and on a great road of promise that is opening up for you. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, you've heard them before, but I'll read them. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. Can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. There's a great deal of the gospel in this scene down at the potter's house. It's typical of Jeremiah that he found the gospel in such things. Jeremiah, I think, has to be a favorite prophet of God because he's so much like Jesus. There are many resemblances between the two. Their tenderheartedness, their outlook is very similar, and one thing they have in common is an appreciation for ordinary things. More than any other prophet, Jeremiah found parables in the common things of life. And so here's a potter molding a piece of clay in how very Vancouver Islandish. But somehow it's marred in its making, not quite right for the potter's hand. But instead of throwing it into the rubbish heap, he sets himself to make it again. He doesn't give up on it. He doesn't set it aside. He makes it again. And this is so like God. God's always making things again. And, of course, Jeremiah felt profoundly that this act was a parable of God. And isn't that evident that this time of year, don't you get a sense that God's at work making things again? Springtime was here, and summer is coming. You planted your bulbs in October because you knew God would be in the business soon of making things again. An artist can paint a picture, this picture of springtime, hang it in the Gordon Head Recreational Center for a while. But when he's painted it, you know that he's done with it. It may be beautiful, it may be riotous with color, but when he's painted it, he's done with it. And that picture, he never paints a second time. But the wonder of the Creator, the wonder of the everlasting Father, is not only that He paints the spring and paints the summer, but He paints it every year again. Every year He makes spring again, and the glory of summer, and the mellowness of autumn, with all His infinite creating powers. It's interesting how God works by repetition. And the strange thing is, we never tire of it. Violin virtuoso Itzhak Perlman once was asked, what makes great music great? And he said, one mark of great music is you never weary of hearing it repeated. Cheap music you grow tired of. You sing it for a season and soon forget it. But great music stands endless repetition. Did you ever think of the greatness of God's music? He's given us the oratorio of the seasons. And every morning the sun is in the east, and every evening the stars are in the sky, and every year the spring comes tripping back again, for God makes it. He makes it. And yet, we will never understand the depths of His eternal patience, and we will never understand the depths of His eternal love until we say what is said in my text this morning, that He makes it again. The King James Version, He maketh it again. Because this is a new thought. This is a great work of God. He makes it again. As life goes on with all its advances, with all its needs, with all its concerns, God is still continually making it again. And I want you to notice, this is how God works through His Word. This is how God works through His church. When you were a child, I don't know what the Bible was to you. Maybe a book that you hardly understood. Maybe there were stories that you loved to hear, especially when your mother was telling them. But now the years have passed and knowledge has come and you've experienced life and maybe you've suffered some. In fact, at times, come close to shipwreck. But let me ask you, is the Bible not a new book to you now? What I mean is, have you not come to it again and again, and have you not found in it a constant and fresh source of blessing and inspiration? And when no one else's words can give you the comfort that you needed in that moment, it was the Word of God that gave you that comfort, or gave you that encouragement, or gave you that direction. And so God, proving His mercies to you, mercies that are new every morning, He says. For this Word meets every temptation we face, every burden you and I have to bear with, every sorrow that enters your life by every sin, every failure. In all those experiences of life, haven't we been led to the Scriptures, and haven't you been gripped by the promises? And haven't you reached and gripped them as a drowning man would reach for a life raft? And yet it's the same old Bible. I mean, it's the same old Bible as your childhood, the same book, not another book. There's Daniel in the lion's den, and there's Joseph let down in the pit, and there's the psalmist with his songs in the night. But isn't it richer and deeper now, 1,000 times so, because through the experience and strain of life, God has been making it again real to your heart. You know, we live in a high-tech world, a scientific age. And if men had the power, the ability of God, I think they would always be trying new expressions. And I'm all for discovery, but God doesn't always work that way. And what I mean is, the great creator seems to find joy in making the same thing a million times. And that is the window of his heart. Thousands of years ago, just think of it, he made a human face. And ever since, he's been making it again. And thousands of years ago, he made a human heart. And ever since, he's been making it again. Our human hearts with all our longings and our thoughts that go wandering through eternity and our bodies so fearfully and wonderfully made. He made them long ago, and he makes them again. Now, when I look at Jesus, I see the same process. I turn to Christ, the express image of God, and I see in him the patient and beautiful persistence. Jesus made things just like the Father. He made wine out of water. He made a feast out of a few small loaves. He made calm out of an angry storm. But the glory of Christ's work is not so much in his creation, but in his recreation. Not only in his creative works, but in his recreative works. His triumph lies in making things again. And I think of the Gadarean demoniac. Once he'd been a happy man, he lived at home with his wife and his children, and now he was out of control. And then Jesus came and pitied him and spoke to him, and with recreating and regenerative power, that poor demoniac was remade. The demoniac wanted to go with Jesus and follow him and all his travels, and Jesus said, "No, I want you to go home." Can you imagine that day in that village when that man came home remade? Can you imagine in the distance, people saying, "Look who's coming, oh no, grab the children and let's hide." But maybe a little boy ran out to greet Daddy. And maybe the little boy brought the first message home and said, "Mommy, Daddy's different. There's something about him. He's changed. I'm not afraid of him anymore. Daddy loves me." And I can see that woman and her children running to meet that man to see if it's true. And that man stayed home and made a home. That's the story of what Christ did for a man who was out of control. Because Jesus is in the business of remaking things. Christ touched a leper and made him again. Nobody could help the lepers, but Jesus could. I've wondered who the lepers are of our society, and being in a downtown church, I've gravitated to thinking about the hopeless case of meth addicts. And we came across so many of them over the years. They'd come into our office and, "How can I help this person?" There's a great story of our addictions ministry where I was had the privilege to sit in because it was testimony time. And so the guy that was giving his testimony put his mugshot up on the screen. Now, that's never happened to me before in church. And he said, "This was me a year and a half ago. I was a meth addict. And this is the picture the police took of me as they incarcerated me. But I want you to know I've dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. And he's changed me. And I'm a new man today." Well, I was sitting in the chair just like you, but I wanted to stand up and go, "Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you for this." Because he's now a leader in helping others with the same problem in their addictions. Pointing them to Christ. Why? Because he found that Jesus is able to make you again. When everybody else has given up on you, there's one who never gives up. And his name is Jesus. Now, we all need a Savior that remakes us. The resurrection every Easter reminds us that, of course, he still has the power to do it. Power to remake, rekindle, recreate. All power has been given to him to make you, even you again. So, spring's here. Summer is in just 2 days. I think it's a reminder that it can be springtime in your heart. And I wonder if there's somebody here even this morning and you're not quite what God wants you to be. Your life isn't what it should be. You know what you need to be. And it could be that you've remembered better days. But today you're so far from those days and you've wandered off track somehow and you wondered if you'd ever be able to get back on track. Well, I want you to know that God is still in the business of making things again. He can take a sinful heart and make it clean. He can take a broken heart and make it whole. He can take a life that needs direction and make it new, and he can give you a brand new start even today. And I'm going to ask the worship team to join me right now. But I wonder if we could just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Because I wonder if there's someone in this great crowd this morning and you're not sure if your heart, your life is what God wants it to be. In fact, you know you need help from on high. You need peace. You need the assurance of sins forgiven. You need strength and power to be what you ought to be what you want to be what God intends you to be. And it could be this morning that you're honest enough to ask for prayer. And so before we do anything else, before we sing any hymn in this service, you've heard Christ speaking to your heart and you know you need him. And I wonder if you'd let me pray for you. I want to ask the Lord to bless you. Is there somebody? You just raise a hand wherever you are. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just say, "Yes, Pastor. I need his help. Would you let me pray for you?" Every eyes closed, every head bowed. And you'd let me ask the Lord to help you and to bless you because you need him. You need his peace. You need his blessing. You need his forgiveness. You need his strength today. Would you let me pray for you? Would you slip up a hand right now? God bless you. Thank you. May take it down. Thank you there. Yes. Yes, yes. Hands are going up everywhere. Wonderful Lord, we bless you today. We thank you that you are here. Jesus in resurrection power.
walking down these aisles, setting your hand on shoulders, convincing us of your love again, of your goodness and of your greatness, able to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And so, Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins through Calvary. And so we pray, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, fresh and new, Lord. Bring an expression of your life and your light to me. One more time. Lord, I need you. Thank you that you hear me when I pray. Thank you that you don't turn anybody away. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do your deep work this morning. And these who are so brave, so courageous to raise a hand in a service like this, responding not to a minister as much as responding to you, Lord. Jesus, we receive you this morning. And thank you that you receive us. Thank you for your call over our lives. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a good day when God is making things again. Amen. In the heart of a life. It's a good day when God is making things again. In the life of a church. You know, people go through seasons of life, and sometimes it's summer, and sometimes it's fall, and sometimes it's the biting winds of winter. But God's able to bring the springtime back. How does he do that? By making things again. And churches go through seasons. Sometimes it's summer, sometimes it's fall, sometimes it's winter. But aren't you glad that God is still in the business of making things again? He maketh it again. King James people were saying, he maketh it again. That was in 1611, they were saying that. What time is it now? Oh, 2016. You know what? We're still saying it, church. He maketh it again. He's making it again right here in Lambrick Park. Let's stand.